In Paris, on Avenue Kléber, in a former Gestapo headquarters, politicians have been talking for 4 years about ending a war. Once a week, on Thursdays, diplomatic cars arrive at the conference center, bringing delegates to talk about a war in which nearly 1 million men have died, the Vietnam War. From North Vietnam, Mr. Xuan Thuy. He arrived in May 1968 when the talks opened. Since then, he and his colleagues have been joined by representatives of the Viet Cong, led by Madam Thái Bình. From the United States, Mr. Henry Cabot Lodge, one of a list of high-level diplomats who have handled the grueling negotiations on behalf of the nation most anxious for peace in Indochina. And inside the conference chamber, already at the table, Mr. Pham Dang Lam from South Vietnam. In over 150 such meetings, what have they achieved? This week, ECHO re-examines the prospects for peace in Vietnam. The truth of the matter is that the Paris peace talks, hailed as a major breakthrough in 1968, have by 1972 achieved nothing. The delegates still turn up, make accusatory speeches, and leave. But it's a game of which even the international press has grown weary. Talks which began in farce, with arguments about the shape of the conference table, have degenerated into sterile tragedy. Week in, week out, the delegates play their parts. But it's all become nothing more than a puppet show without an audience. And there's nothing to comment on anymore. Everything that could be said in public has been said. And in the meantime, the war goes on and the casualty lists mount. For the reality of Vietnam is 10,000 miles from this place. And yet in other parts of Paris, secret meetings between Americans and North Vietnamese did attempt to break the deadlock. The American initiative was led by President Nixon's special advisor, Dr. Henry Kissinger. Since 1970, he has met North Vietnamese leaders 12 times. At their meetings, he offered much of what the communists demanded: the withdrawal of American forces and new elections in South Vietnam. But all offers were rejected or ignored, and the whole American formula publicly rebutted by Hanoi. This is South Vietnam. To take a realistic view of this country is to recognize that peace is as far away as ever. In truth, there can never be peace here as long as the North Vietnamese maintain their efforts to overrun the South. Politically, historically, and ethnically, the North and the South do not mix. They were fighting each other 1,000 years before Vietnam became a household word. And this is the vital factor. Only an inbred antipathy to the North could possibly have sustained the South during the past decade. But even a massive commitment to war cannot obscure South Vietnam's growth. For example, it depends on rice. During the worst of the war, production slumped, but has been revitalized, so that this country now grows 6 million tons annually, enough to feed its people without imports. New agricultural techniques, along with new strains of rice plant, have taken root in the paddy fields. The acreage under irrigation will double in the next 4 years. Additionally, 250,000 peasants have been given their own land in a program of agrarian reform. Equally important, there is in South Vietnam a willingness to unify. Villagers, aided by the military, are building bridges to link with other villages, where once they remained isolated and suspicious, and easy prey to Viet Cong guerrillas. The result is closer contact with the capital, Saigon. The Mekong River connects South Vietnam with the outside world, serving as an artery for the nation's trade and commerce. Intense development of the port of Saigon has made it the biggest and most efficient trading port between Singapore and Hong Kong. Formerly only handling the massive inflow of men and material needed for the war, it has now switched to more peaceful uses. More than 8 million tons of cargo are handled annually in Saigon, a port of call for nearly 6,000 ships every year. Goods are moved quickly along the waterways flowing into the Mekong and on the new highways first built to transport the paraphernalia of war. But with the noise of battle receding to South Vietnam's borders, the work of reconstruction gathers momentum. Schools and hospitals have doubled in number during the past 5 years. Then there were no medical centers in the villages. Now there are over 400. War has taught the South Vietnamese about electricity supply and the need to modernize peasant industry. And it has taught them a lot of other things too. Nobody under the age of 30 in South Vietnam knows what it is like to live under any but wartime conditions. Nobody has ever asked them what they want. If they were asked, their answer would probably be nothing more ambitious than to be left alone in peace. What they have learned is that even when fighting an endless war, they can equip themselves for peace, should it ever come. But will it ever come? The answer lies in the tortured thinking of the men in Hanoi and Peking. What South Vietnam has achieved, it has had to achieve while committing a million of its best young men to fighting a war from which their American support is being gradually withdrawn. To the Americans, the name of the game is Vietnamization. It means simply equipping South Vietnam to fight its own battles. With American air support, South Vietnamese troops are still engaged in the endless, weary, bloody business of war. The North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong are still there, and they will not go away until or unless politicians tell them to do so. And all efforts at peace having foundered on the intractability of the communist side, there would seem to be little hope of peace. For this is a war that nobody can win. Only losers. To date, South Vietnam has lost 145,000 troops and untold thousands of civilians. They claim the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong have lost twice as many. The Americans have lost 46,000 killed. In all, nearly a million men. That is the background to all the talks and secret negotiations in Paris, 10,000 miles from where the action is. And yet, if that talking has achieved nothing, at least the South Vietnamese can claim some victories. Most important of all, they have survived.